So I'm supposed to talk about nothing. I should stop now. but it's, the title is On Meeting Nothing, or in our Zen tradition, emptiness, or the great unknowing, I guess. It sounds really big, but yeah, I'm not even sure what what it is, but here goes. In art school, I went to art school, Rhode Island School of Design, and as freshman foundation class, I took this class. We had, our teacher's name was Mr. Alfred DiFredico, and he had this really great presence about him, like this portly man with a cane. I think he was in like maybe 60s to 70s. And he had a reputation for making everyone cry. And so I was like, uh-oh. So we're sitting there, and he gives us an assignment. He says, I want you guys to go out into the street, find something, and make something. Like, it could be a drawing or painting, and bring it for next class. And we're like, anything else? Like, nope, no instructions. And so we go out there, like, all right. And we, for the next class, we bring something back, and we post it on this large wall. And he would walk along this wall, take his cane, this sucks, this is bad, this is crap. And it just, and like almost like 99%, and there's one picture, I don't know why, he was like, this works. And we're sitting there, our little fragile egos are crushed, and there's tears, and they're sniffling. And he gives us a next assignment. All right, and he does this, and we go out, and we're supposed to bring another piece of art to be destroyed on the wall. And we're like headless chickens running around. It's like, I don't know what to do. Oh my God, what are we doing? And we're just like throwing stuff onto the paper or whatever. And we bring it and crap, crap, crap. And it's like, oh my God, what is the point of this class? And it's just, we were basically destroyed as little art students. And but this kept going on. And I mean, how do you teach artists to see? We came from high school, like we saw pictures, but we had no idea. But how do you teach artists to see beyond what's right, you know, just the labels? And as we were running around trying to find something that meet approval, or, you know, we didn't know what was good, what was bad. He didn't tell us why these things worked, why this did not, and why this piece looked ugly in our eyes, was beautiful for him. And then we're just sitting there, you know, just dumbfounded. But in this unknowingness, like, we did not know, but we had to make something, and we're sort of like functioning from this other place. It's not in our brains, because our brain's trying to do it, and because, you know, what we think is good, he would say it's bad. And so it was such an interesting class. And you know, the fascinating thing is, towards the end, there was a slow realization. Something was changing. We were like being, you know, we, for instance, like a crack in the sidewalk did not look like a crack in the sidewalk anymore. It was no longer sidewalk. It was line and gray. And the tree was no longer this labeled tree. It was texture. It was this entity. And he had all these things. And the way I, you know, was able to see things beyond the label of house, wall, you know, peeling paint, it was no longer peeling paint. It was texture, it was color, it was light, it was, you know, composition. It just, it was fascinating. What he was trying to teach us was, don't rely on the labels. When you look at something, your idea of what's good, what's bad, it has to come from you, and you have to decide, and you have to make it. And it's like a blindly groping for, you know, a solution to like a project. It's an understanding. It's a, you know, it really felt like a big, in hindsight, it's a giant koan practice. Because, you know, I would bring a piece of artwork and put it on the wall, and like, please don't pick me, just walk, walk, walk. And he was, one day, like, look at it, this works. And I was like, really? Why? And that's sort of like my koan. If I answer like, yes, you got it. It's like, oh, really? What? And so I'm like, okay. But that's been my experience with this unknowing. I was sort of plunged into it. I really respect that teacher. And as artists and creatives, we are always sort of like looking under things. We're always trying to look something beyond the label because we want to bring something new into the world. And so it's very comfortable for us to sort of like go into this space and wait. Because I can, please, deadline's tomorrow, I need something. You know, it doesn't work that way. Sometimes just out of ideas. I mean, that's this unknowing place. I go into it when everything in my head is not satisfactory. It's not coming out with the solutions that I want, or it's very limited. And even the ideas that, you know, sometimes I'll sit there like, oh yeah, I should do this. Those are invariably a dead end. It looks shiny in the beginning, but when I follow it, it's very limited in scope and it does not answer the question that I have. But the answer that I wait for, that sort of like comes from this unknowing place, it's a very quiet voice and it's very simple. It has no, you know, glitter or anything. It's just simply an answer. It's like, oh, right. And I put it in and it's so fascinating because those ideas are usually, it grows. There is no limitation and it provides an answer that was like beyond the scope of the question. And I'm always like amazed by it. And so when I do my art or, you know, there is a certain kind of like respect, sort of, I know this is a dance. It doesn't come from me. It's come from like, you know, somewhere else. And for me, it's such a magical experience. If I had to sort of describe it, put a word to it, describe like how I feel towards it, it feels like a primordial space where like source of life and creation sort of happens. And so as creative people, I think a lot of scientists and like people were looking sort of beyond the obvious. I think we all sort of tap into that, no matter what we're looking for. To give you a visual, metaphor. I once had this dream where like I am, you know, there is this primordial ocean, the sea in front of me, and it's, the clouds are heavy and the water is choppy. And there is an instinctive fear of the sea for me. And the shoreline, there's no like nice white sandy beaches. It's like Northwest rocks. And we have and just big, you know, black rocks on the shoreline and the waves are crashing in. And I remember in that dream standing there, like, I do not want to go into that ocean. I will be destroyed. I don't know how to swim. But even if I knew how to swim, I would not enter that ocean because there is a instinctive fear that I will be destroyed. And so, but I want to take part in the gifts of this ocean. So how do I do it? And the waves come crashing in and I find this like huge, gigantic like tide pool and there are like life in it. And so I sort of sit gingerly down and dip my feet in. And that's really the amount that I'm, you know, feel comfortable going in. But even that feels like, it feels overwhelming sometimes. And that's sort of the dream. That dream sort of like really encapsulates how I felt, like my relationship with this space. But, you know, as I sat, you know, thinking about this talk, I was like, well, what is this fear? What is this? Why was I afraid to go into this ocean? This ocean provided so much and it has been always been a companion. Why am I afraid to go in? Then I remembered the entire process of me working on dismantling my world, as in how I saw myself, my ideas of who I am, how I exist in the world, of other people, these relationships, these ideas that I had, and like this infrastructure that I created. I mean, you could visualize me wearing like gazillion layers of clothes. And every time I have to like, you know, I acknowledge something that's like, this is not real. This is false identity. That I have to peel off a layer of myself. And every time I peel off a layer of myself, I remember this. I remember feeling like this terrible sense of vulnerability and this chill and this, you know, in this process of me facing all my mental constructs and changing a lot of the relationships I had, there is definitely fear of physical, like, of retaliation from other people. There is that fear. But this fear I'm talking about is me stripping away one layer at a time. And that itself was like death. And I think me fearing, you know, being afraid to go into that ocean, I think it's part of this, you know, that fear is I will be destroyed. But it's, I think it's just my egos, all the constructs being destroyed. That's what I'm afraid of. Because every time I, you know, take off a layer, I'm looking around like, am I going to be struck by lightning? And nothing happens. And it's just, and this presence, this space has always existed. And it has always been there waiting for me. And, you know, it felt like, welcome home. I take off a layer, welcome home. You know, and I realized there's nothing to be afraid of. And so this experience, I wanted to sort of like tell it in a story form. I'm always looking for ideas. It's like, oh, is this an idea? And then so I had this piece of paper. I drew a little, you know, there was a boy on that piece of paper, and it was looking off into space, into the space on the other side of the paper. And in this space, a vine was growing, life was growing. And this image was really the start of the story that I worked on. But I didn't have enough to finish it. So that story sort of stayed for many, many years. And it's only recently that I, you know, the other parts came in and it created a larger story and I was able to finish it. So I will share a story with you on Zoom. It's called Scared of Nothing. And it sort of shows how, what this process, my experience with it is.